Triple M Footy lives on Listener, thanks to McDonald's and Ream Hot Water. Getting our nose right in there and having a good sniff around the Monday Scrum.
Welcome again to the Monday Scrum, Adam Peacock, alongside fellow Monday Scrummagers, James Graham. How are you, mate?
Yeah, very well. Very, very well. Great weekend of football.
And a good rundown. Aaron Woods.
Boys, how are we?
Fresh off a straight 50.
50
minutes.
Oh, yeah.
Yesterday still, for Manly.
I forgot yeah. I still play footy. I'm
going. In the blazing sunshine before first
grade. For the mighty Blacktown workers. It was good fun.
There you go. And did you know the team song after?
No, I didn't. I just said, you know, we...
Bill of the West Tigers on Saturday night. Brent Reed.
Hey, what's doing?
How are you, mate?
Oh, fantastic.
Yes.
It's all happening.
There's so much news around. But before we get to news and before we get to blow-ups and before you get hit in the head by your old mate over...
Oh, is that the blunder?
He loved
is
it so much he left. But anyway,
the eighth blunder of the world. Guys, what did you enjoy most from the weekend, James?
I'm going to go the city rail workers clocking off, watching the game at Belmore.
What about Maroon dobbing them in on the telly?
It's just one of the perks of the job.
He's kidding, Maroon. Let the blokes have a bit of fun. How many times do they play at Belmore?
Got paid today,
well, they were in bright orange, and they kind of didn't like blend into the bushes behind them. So
for me, you know, you could argue it's your tax dollar, whatever. But you know what? It's not everything in life's a competition. They've got a perk of the job. Yep. Let them enjoy their. They're working on a Saturday afternoon. There happens to be a game on. Let them enjoy it.
And they can chuck the footy back from the conversions.
Exactly.
Woodsy, what did you enjoy on the weekend?
I enjoyed my old club, the Tigers. A great win.
Yes.
Back at Leichhardt Oval. They've copped a lot of flack. You know, we tend to talk about the Tigers for the wrong reasons, but they've come out. They beat a really good opposition, the Cronulla Sharks. Probably because some peanut gave him a bit of motivation throughout the week to play well at Leichhardt Oval.
Hold on to it, Woodsy. We'll get to there. Reedy, can a journo enjoy anything across the weekend?
Yeah, I was sidelined for Manly Parry yesterday. Cracking game of football.
It was.
Thought Manly were a bit, they should have won it.
Correct.
They threw it away, really. When you're 14-0 up, shouldn't lose footy games.
Don't reckon the ref different after 12 minutes?
I'm with you.
Breach notice.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Clear change in.
Really? Okay. Wow.
Officiating.
It's controversial.
I don't know to say anything, but yeah.
I'm not a rugby league guru. I can't.
You claim to be.
When they referee, I can't tell the difference.
You can't even see with those eyes, don't they? You see good games.
Now, the eighth blunder of the world. Let's get to it right now.
This has fired me.
So inside the four walls of the Daily Telegraph, there's differing opinions. Some absolutely love it. Some dislike it. We'll get to James in a moment. Jimmy had Shane Richardson on the bye round, and he explained exactly how the West Tigers feel about playing at Leichhardt. But what is the latest? Is this going to move the needle at all in terms of a lack of funding for
this joint?
There's
actually a press conference on right now with Shane Richardson and the local mayor, Darcy Byrne.
Darcy Byrne.
And basically, I think my understanding is they're going to make a plea for funding because they need money. You know, they want $30 million. I think they're saying we want 10% of what Penrith got. $30 million would at least do enough to improve the ground to make it, make sure it can be used down the track. Because the issue is the way it's going, they won't be allowed to play there anyway in a couple of years. It'll be closed. It's unsafe. So the idea is to get $30 million to at least upgrade those areas that they can improve so the ground can stay open.
Is that the grandstand or is it the access?
I think it's just the whole joint. It's a, you know, I'm not going to call it a dump again because that caused me a lot of drama, but it's a hole.
When was this meeting with Richo and Darcy Burns?
It's on now. They're on the press conference now.
When was it scheduled? Like how long ago?
I think it was in reaction to all the stuff that's come out in the past.
So is a certain person a certain mouthpiece for a certain other person to come out?
You think I went to Richo and Richo planted
the
seed?
It's just funny how it all comes out in a certain period of time.
I'm looking you in the eye and I'm telling you right now, on my kids, it was my idea.
It was your idea,
Did
was
I
it?
Speak to Richo before it got public, it went in the paper? I said, I've done this story.
Yep.
I think it's a dump. And he said, well, I'm not going to stop you writing the story. But it was my idea.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to remember how it started. I think I was in work and they were talking about the Tigers going back to Leichhardt. And I said, actually, you know when it started? I did a podcast last week.
Yep.
a work podcast on Monday, okay, yep, and we spoke about Leichhardt, and on that podcast I called it a dump.
And what's the difference between Leichhardt and Brookvale?
Because Brookvale's better than Leichhardt.
You tend to spend a lot of time. They're very similar suburban grounds.
Well, you know better than me.
I reckon both.
You played at both.
They're both my favourite joints.
Team clubs you played for.
They're both my favourite joints. I didn't call it a dump.
Brookvale's
what's
a better
wrong
ground.
With Cogra?
Exactly right.
Brookvale's a better ground. They've spent money on Brookvale. You know the issue, Woodsy? They spent money at Brookvale. No one's spent any money at Leichhardt.
Mm.
They spent $30 million at Brookvale. They put a brand new centre of excellence there. It's a great stadium. You know, great corporates in that stadium. The Manly make money there now.
Do they make money?
Well, I don't think they make a lot, but they make enough.
Okay.
Leichhardt, the West Tigers don't make any money out of it, Woodsy.
Yeah.
And unfortunately,
I think they walk out even if they have a certain amount of. Well, I agree with you, if they went to Combank,
they'd make hundreds of thousands of dollars.
If they had 15,000 at Combank like they did on Saturday night, they would make money.
Do they get money from that? Isn't it just the doesn't the stadium pay the club?
Yeah, the club gets the money though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So whether you got a packed house or don't have a packed house.
Well, it depends. So South, for example, at ANZ Stadium or Core Stadium,
yep,
doesn't matter how many people they have there, they get a certain amount of money. Now, if they get above a figure, the figure goes up. But
it's the same with the Bulldogs. Like, you know, sometimes you'd look at it and you go, well, why would we play any out-of-Sydney team not at Belmore? Why would we take that game to a Core? And the simple answer is they lose money at Belmore and they earn money at a Core Stadium.
So they would have lost on Saturday playing Gold Coast Titans?
Yeah, they would. And it's that fine balance that football clubs have between, you know, their spiritual homes, the nostalgia, the memories, all the connections to community versus running a business and the profit. And also, you know what? We probably need to exit the conversation because as hard as this is to say, I don't think the NRL or the football clubs are too concerned about the opinions of us when it comes to where we watch football because they know we're going to go. No matter what, we'll go.
To an extent.
And it's more valuable for them to get one corporate in at a Core versus 15,000 nailed-on nostalgic fans.
They don't care about
in terms of the dollar. That's what it is, and I'm okay with it. I love the suburban grounds. It's how I grew up watching football, but the game has moved on, and maybe if you want the best of both worlds, still have those suburban grounds for the blokes can sit on the hill and watch a beer. Have that for New South Wales Cup or Queensland Cup, so you can have the best of it both. Go and watch your professional NRL standard sport at the bigger stadiums, and then if you want to still sit and have a beer where you're not going to be buying jerseys, et cetera, and spending that hard-earned money in your pocket or bringing the corporates, have those at suburban grounds.
I'd hate to think the Tigers would go to a Core, right? I think they should play somewhere. Look, they need to get money to upgrade Leichhardt, right? Mm. But I would hate to think they went to a Core stadium.
They'd probably go to Combank.
Well, you would hope so because a Core stadium is a horrible place to watch football.
Yeah.
Shocking. I know the Dogs play there, Jimmy, but it's shocking. Until they spend some money on it,
it's just too big for clubs like that.
It's a diabolical place to watch football. But the other issue that the Tigers have got, right, they've got two home grounds.
Yeah, that's the biggest problem.
This is a club that politically has never really been united, right?
Again on the weekend because they've had board spills.
They've got West and Balmain playing in they're playing in lower grades as well, don't they?
Yeah, they play West Ham at
SC4. How are you supposed to be a
United
club?
Can I ask you one more? What about the team song? They sung the West song and the Balmain song.
That's insane. Like this
didn't
club,
Benji rewrite the lyrics?
No.
To join them together? Him and Robbie Farah have rewritten the that's why they had the sheets out singing the because no one knew the words and Benji just said, here you go, boys.
Well, I knew word for word the second part of the song. That was our old Balmain SG Bull Haramat song.
So he's meshed them together.
You know, this club's supposed to be this united force.
It's not.
But they're divided everywhere, including in their back home ground.
Back to
their training grounds at Concord.
Yeah.
Well, they've got
but
that centralised.
At least they've got one training ground, you know. The issue is...
Yeah, but they train captains run at Leichhardt, captains run sometimes at Leichhardt.
Yeah, that's true.
With suburban grounds, I can tell you right now that the extreme ends of the Sydney metropolitan area, Cronulla and Manly, if they centralised those two teams and said, you're off to go and play at Allianz...
No one goes.
Halve the crowd.
Cronulla's
immediately
a disgrace as well. What does that hold? 13,000
at the moment. Yeah,
and it's ridiculous.
Those two are probably at the extremes at the far northern and southern end of Sydney, aren't they? Where you go, oh, yeah, maybe they've got a reason to play at Shark Park and play at the old Brookvale.
Mm.
But the others, I don't know. It's hard.
What was it like for Wigan? Because Central Park, I remember watching Rue Tours.
Is now a supermarket. St. Helens, Nosey Road, where, you know, for me, the nostalgia of all those games going with my dad, my grandfather, sitting on the wall, watching the game, not in a seat. Actually, it was first in, best dressed, run to the wall, get your spot. Here's the best place. Making my St. Helens debut there, made my Great Britain debut at a test match that happened to be at that game. Now it's a housing estate.
So what happened to those clubs when they moved to their new home? I know Wigan went to where Wigan Athletic play in football. St. Helens, where did they move
St. Helens, they built their own boutique stadium.
I built a new one. So what happened to Wigan when did the soul of the club kind of depart them a little bit when they kind of came to a financial realisation they had to move?
I think that there is a transition and a shift in feeling, because it doesn't feel the same way.
No,
and again, it's that fan that is nailed on, a lifer, is always going to go. They're going to be heartbroken, and it takes time to generate atmosphere at the new stadiums. But here in Australia, really, it's not like the fans are singing. So it's you back in the old grounds of the Central Park, your nosy roads, you knew the areas where you go and sing and where it was more family friendly. Those take time to sort of organically come together, and people stand in the same spot. But it's hard. It's difficult. And because you're dealing with it, although it's a business, it's highly emotional.
Yeah.
Like the fans are so emotional, and you've got these memories and feelings that you feel like would be ripped out, like Woodsy.
Like him with Leichhardt, you know, even though you don't play there anymore.
Imagine if Leichhardt, if the council just went, well, we're going to abandon it, and we'll just put some high-rise units on there.
Which could happen.
I think they'd love to do that.
Well, like it could happen, but could you imagine the uproar?
I'd be filthy.
But I don't mind the idea of playing. In hindsight, it probably went a little hard, because I don't mind them playing one game a year there.
Like a joke.
I think where you got your information from, you had to go hard.
Okay, so if they spend the money.
That's my information.
But then if they spend the money, really, like whose money is that? So to put in 50 million for one game a year?
Come on, man.
Maybe two at a pinch if they get 50 million.
I disagree with Jimmy.
They're not going to get 50 million, Jimmy.
It is multi-use, though.
They're not going to get 50.
They play football.
I know.
Darcy Burns sent me a text. He said they have 84... events there.
Sydney FC women play there a lot. RPL Leichhardt playing a bit of football.
Of junior sport as well.
They don't get
you tend to
crowds
get
through
the
joint.
A lot of the sides that travel to Sydney use that for a training venue that week as well, because it's not used that often on the weekends.
I think they could do something with the configuration. Maybe
I'd love to fix
the southern end.
I'd love to fix the tree, like you know where the trees are on the back.
Yeah,
make it like a stand, like sort of like what
those trees aren't going anywhere. Yeah.
No, those trees. The trees are there. There's a section there with
a little center of excellence type situation.
If there's that level of event, well, basically you need to prioritize the pitch and the changing rooms.
The pitch
because
is
those
sweet.
Level of events, you've got to imagine there's not that big a crowd coming in. Take away the Tigers, so put the money in the pitch and the changing rooms, and then maybe build from there.
The field's always sweet. It's the changing rooms that need to fix up. They're horrendous, especially if you're the way sheds.
Well, that grandstand, I don't know how it's still standing, the main grandstand. It's hung together with a thread. That looks like a Jenga set. But no, the main grandstand, it looks like it's had its life. But I mean, I've
seen better days.
On the weekend, I called a game of cricket at the Wacker. What they're doing.
You're everywhere. Man.
Oh, thanks.
Invoices. Calling cricket now?
Yeah, look, mate, unbelievable.
How many gigs have you got? It's ridiculous.
A lot of kids to pay for. They've wiped out one end of grandstands, and then they're putting in a community centre with a 50-metre pool outdoor, 25-metre pool indoor.
Oh, really?
Maybe it could go down this path, Leichhardt, and then still have your two games a year just for the spiritual home of Balmain Tigers.
I take that back. One game a year, though.
One game a year. There you go.
And then have the reserve
back to
grand finals.
Yeah. But, I mean, you know, the game is – Peter Vallandis from the start has been committed to suburban grounds because – and part of the reason for that, I believe, is the broadcasters – like the visualisation of suburban grounds rather than a vacuous stadium. But that's not such an issue now with Allianz and CommBank, because even when they're not chockers, they've still got a really good atmosphere and they still look good.
CommBank's really nice.
They still look good on the coverage. So I don't think it's that's as big an issue as maybe it was when Peter first took charge.
But it caused a horror show.
It's ordinary.
For a run-of-the-mill game.
Why South is still playing there and why...
Money.
The NRL, I know why. I know what the issue is, right?
Yes.
But the fact South and the NRL and the government have not been able to work out a way to get South out of Accor and into Allianz outrageous.
You see Nick Politis after the game the other night?
Yeah.
It was all about Jared, and he was seeing Freddie for the first time in a while, and he was all happy that they bashed the bunnies. Oh, by the way, this is... This is our house. This is us. This is Uncle Nick's palace. Honestly, anyway.
That one team plays there, one NRL team. It's such a good stadium.
Yeah.
So good. It's so underused
in that sense.
That's phenomenal.
Speaking of good, West Tigers performance. So that's been lost in the eighth blunder of the world chat and everything. But you go back a week and Benji working 5.5 hours a day was a problem. Not so much of a problem today or the last couple of days, is it, Jim? I mean, what was that pure attitude? And we see it early in seasons all the time, attitude adjustments. Was that purely that? Or has Benji got a game plan to really springboard off here?
Well, look, a couple of things spring to mind. Firstly, the game against Canberra, I thought that the Tigers showed a new level of resilience to come back into that contest. They started that game down in the nation's capital, or like it was awful. Yeah. Like they didn't complete their first set, and then you know, before you knew it, the Raiders had completed eight, scored a couple of tries, and the game was almost over. But the Tigers found a way to make it a respectable game and come back into the contest. I think for me, again, Hazelton scores first. They don't crumble. They stay in it. Mm-hmm. And they've learned how to play with Api Karasa. It's as simple as that. Like, he jumps, we go.
Yep.
We don't wait and go, my goodness me. Api Karasa's jumped out of dummy half and created an opportunity.
He's really quick.
So, and even then on try line, you've got guys like Luke Garner sneaking over.
Yeah.
Now that comes, it's deception from Coruscant because he fakes the pass with his eyes. So the defender goes past Garner, thinks he's not an option. He's just there to make a nuisance of himself and try and upset the defense. The ball goes to him.
Mm.
So it fundamentally, it comes down to Api Coruscant. Now, how they grow and evolve as a team, that will become apparent in the coming weeks. But fundamentally, it comes down to him. That effort play where Jesse Ramian offloads the football, there's four Sharks players standing around looking at it, and Api Karasau, despite having a bit of gastro, decided I want that ball more than anybody else. It was as simple as that for me.
Well, I reckon it just shows you how close this competition is. If you're off just a little bit, you know, it just shows you get your pants pulled down. You know, it's not as, you know, the comp's not as wide open, as tight shut with the top teams as what it has been in the recent years. And it's hard. Like, you know, they were down by 14 against Canberra.
Mm.
Parramatta were down by 14 yesterday.
Mm.
You know, it shows you what they do. Like, so it's really good, like Jimmy said, with the resilience. Very happy for Benji. Copped a lot of flack the first, you know, couple of weeks. Obviously had the bye round one. Didn't get to showcase what they've got. Round two, the poor performance, but for me, it was just the intent. You knew it from the start of the first kickoff run. Stefano goes to come off the back fence.
Mm-hmm.
They had a good set with the ball, and then defensively, they were just getting off the line. It's more what was between the ears. Mm. And it shows you that if they keep applying themselves and they can do it for 80 minutes, they've got some good players. Justin Ollam was outstanding. Mm. You know, like I said, Jimmy said, he doesn't sit back and watch. You can tell he's been in some good systems. He noticed their key player is Api Karasau. He ducks and weaves, made a line break. Who's the first player there? Justin Ollam pushing up. Used to what happens at Melbourne. I think their big gun players played really well, and then it just feeded off the whole group around them.
Mm.
I want to see them back up, though.
Yeah, that's it. You know, that's the challenge.
They've won games in the past where we've gone, wow, look at the Tigers. They played so well. And then the next week, they've gone out and capitulated again.
Yeah, didn't they smash the Cowboys last year? Yeah. And then they're like a 100-point reversal.
Yeah. So I want to see them back it up week on week, because it's easy to get up for 1 week in this. Well, not easy, but you can get up for 1 week in this game. The good teams stay up and they keep that. They maintain that level.
Doesn't it set up a beautiful clash for Easter Monday?
Para.
Yeah.
Para West Tigers, yeah.
Para at Combank.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, won't we?
Lockie Gelvin was good again too. Young kid,
he's going
fine.
Really well. I thought the difference was Aiden Caesar directing him around the field. Kick, you know, I know he's good, he's a bit older. He hasn't probably got the leg speed that he used to have.
Is he older than you? What's the age there?
Same age as me.
Same age.
Yeah, we got playing against each other. I just thought he got the right points in the field, and he just kicked them really well. They had a clear game plan, and it looked like they were going to run it. Blake Brayley, Nico Hines. Blake Brayley and Nico Hines. Nico Hines made 37 tackles.
Did he? Wow.
And yeah, he'd come up with a few misses, and he'd come up with a few fundamental errors, kick out in the full twice.
Yeah.
So if they can just keep sticking, and what I think, Benji, you hear it, they stuck to the game plan the whole game. Yeah. They didn't go away, you know, and just little things like that. It wears teams away.
Absolutely.
Did you ever smash Aiden Caesar back in the day?
Nah.
Was he a good player coming through?
He's always good. He was Bulldogs junior.
Okay.
Mm. Too quick for you around the ruck, or get him?
Way too quick for me.
At least you're honest.
Yeah. I don't lie like Reedy.
WTF moment of the week, because this is going to bleed into some more talking points, but we'll get it out of the way now. But WTF moment of the week, you got one? Reedy,
I'm going to go with Blaze Talangi.
Yeah?
Yesterday for Talangi for Parramatta. You know, early on in that game, they went at him.
Mm-hmm.
And he got exposed, I think, for that first try. He shot out the line, lost his foot, lost his feet, and they Manly scored. I think Tommy scored. But later in that game, when he ran straight at Tommy, basically carried him over the line, it was pretty impressive for a young kid. Looks like he's going places.
Just on Blaze, do you reckon he'd be pretty cheesed off that the club are going after Lomax when
save
you see
it for the mail, Jimmy? Save it for the mail.
Okay.
Okay. That one
looking forward to mail now.
My moment is from the referee, Jared Sutton, on, I think it was a Thursday night, Penrith.
Talk about another referee.
Yeah, no. I think we're going to that, aren't we? Later on your mail.
Oh, the manager.
Yeah, the manager of the game. Okay, yeah. Jared Sutton.
Yeah.
Taylor May gets done for a head clash.
Yes.
I can't cop a referee telling a player how to tackle. You need to bend over a bit more to make a tackle.
Yes, you're telling him to bend your back.
It's not his job, is it?
Your job is to ref the game, champ.
Yes.
Don't tell players how
you've champed him.
How to tackle. the refs don't like me as it is anyway.
Ref. Good luck with Jared next time. But it is a good point because he could immediately turn around and go.
What if I said to him, mate, you need to ref properly?
How to ref the game.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
Just put your lips on the whistle.
don't blow the pee out of it.
Yep.
Mm. Where are we going here? Sorry.
Really knows where we're going.
Jimmy, WTF.
My WTF moment, it's away from football.
Yep.
It goes to Jasmine Paris, who is the first woman to ever complete the Barclay Marathon, which is an insane marathon over in the States. Anybody out there, watch Barclay Marathon on YouTube, Where Dreams Go to Die. It's insane.
What's that like, Jimmy?
So 100 miles, you ascend and descend twice, almost double Everest, so over 60,000 feet. You've got 60 hours to complete this course. You've got to do 5 laps. She completed it with 1 minute and 39 seconds.
Good on her. How long did I have to complete it?
60 hours. So the best thing about this race, there's a few variables. 5 laps, it's like 2 o'clockwise, 2 anti-clockwise and then 1 clockwise, so it disorientates you. There's like 6 books around the course that you've got to tear the page out that's given to you. You don't know when it's going to start. There's like a 12-hour window for it to start. The race begins like a minute after the race organizers start smoking a cigarette. It's absolutely insane. There's no path. It's one of the most insane races.
This is definitely up your alley.
On the planet.
Who came up with this?
And this is the first lady to be. She's a British lady, Jasmine Paris. I'm so made up for her, but it's a WTF moment. But do yourself a favour. Barclay Marathon on YouTube, Where Dreams Go to Die. I won't spoil it. It is an amazing story.
She's going to be on the speaking circuit for a very long time, talking through her 60 hours of life that she never thought she'd get through. So that's incredible.
Can you imagine being tired? Sleep deprivation, and then not knowing which way you go around. If you start going the wrong way, you're disqualified.
Mine is along the same lines because it felt like at times when I was trying to get into this joint that it was going to take 60 hours and I was going around in laps and then back again. The car park at the Sydney International Airport is most, I would say, confusing place on earth.
Just get a taxi, mate.
Easily. No, I was dropping someone off, going to pick up a family member from there. Easily the most confusing, ridiculously designed. It makes Leichhardt look like a palatial mansion in Point Piper in terms of design and how it's formed. Anyway, just had to get that off my chest. Horrible joint.
I agree, mate. I used to get my missus to pick me up from flights, but spend more time waiting for her to get there.
Close second for my WTF moment of the weekend was that obstruction rule try against Manly that was pulled back. Look, I know why it was pulled back.
Yes.
However, what I couldn't get my head around is the fact that rugby league, it looks like a horizontal game because that's how we watch it, but it's actually played vertically. So why wouldn't they look... Maybe the bunker did. Don't know because we might. Do we get the same pictures as the bunker on the coverage?
Oh, I think they get a couple of different angles.
Wouldn't they look vertically?
It doesn't matter.
To see how far away.
By the law
of
the game, it's a obstruction.
So he is 30 meters away.
Jake messed up, and he knows he messed up.
We were told to keep going through the line
of sight. Or pull up. And if you actually watch Jake, he starts to look left because he knows the play that's coming.
Yeah.
And he starts to get a little bit excited that his brother's going to go through on the fake drop. Trbojevic usually would run a sweep line. He then comes underneath, and Jake starts to look and see what's going on. And Moretti played him like a kipper.
Yeah.
He absolutely played him. And people can say he's never going to make the tackle. That is irrelevant because what you can't stop because
didn't get opportunity.
You know, people go to the extreme example. But imagine that is a State of Origin game, and it's not Moretti tying in. It's Cameron Murray tying in on a Xavier Coates coming up the middle.
Yeah,
Cameron Murray might make the tackle.
But Moretti wouldn't have because I know, he was
but you
bludging.
Can't. But what you can't do is start to differentiate on who the player is. Go back to the Kikau example last week against Cronulla. There's no way Trindle is going to make that tackle. It's impossible. Now, I think that's slightly different because it's the referee is obstructing him. Had that been a Bulldogs player, absolutely not. It's done. It's an obstruction. Jake stopped in the line. It's something you can't do. There was a moment in that game as well where Trbojevic, the ball moved to the left-hand side. It almost could have been a penalty. Tom sort of stopped. Paramount, arms are up. He's passed the ball on the inside. That should have been pulled back as well.
So the issue is we've had the era of discretion where we gave referees in the bunker discretion and everyone was up in arms about it saying, you know, every try was a controversy. At least now it's black and white.
Yeah.
You know, and that's much better than what we had previously.
There is no way Moretti's making that tackle.
No.
That's the thing.
But
it doesn't matter, Adam.
It doesn't matter because you can't start to say that player would, that might have happened.
But I'm a big fan.
Close enough. You can't. It's got to be black and white.
I'm a big fan of rules.
Too much drama with discretion.
I know. I'm a massive fan of rules because if we don't have rules, we have chaos in everything in life.
Like this podcast.
But I'm a massive, massive fan of common sense as well. And this is where it crosses over.
This is common sense. It's black and white.
I'm with you, Reedy.
He got denied an opportunity to make a tackle.
Can I ask
I was filthy. It was a penalty. Don't worry.
Can I throw another W2F? Are we going to talk about the Taylor May decision that's just been announced in mail. The NRL?
I thought that was in mail.
I didn't close WTF.
Yeah.
Would you?
Mitchell and Gutho just whinging all game. Sooks.
Yes.
Did the ref say to Mitch at one point, was it last week, said, can you just stop whinging?
Yeah, can you stop?
He's
just one of the biggest sooks I've ever seen.
He looks in some strife, Moses.
I don't think he's right. I don't think he's well. I think the groin.
He said after the groin, as if we're going to tell you the truth.
Yeah.
After a game. He doesn't kick for touch, doesn't kick for goal.
But hang on a minute.
He did some yardage kicks, which are actually really good.
No, that's the only
kick. He kicked one 80 metres. How can he have a problem?
In play, he kicks. Doesn't kick for touch.
You watch him in
attack. He took the last kick at goal, though.
You watch him in attack.
In front.
Yeah,
you watch him in attack, and he's struggling to get there.
Mm.
He's got a groin problem. You can tell he's
mate. Can you find out for us?
I tried to ask him. He wouldn't give me nothing last week.
He knows. Yeah. Right. Well, not just that. It's like you'll come on these shows.
Then he rings
I want
me,
to give you a job.
Then he rings me and goes, "I need help with this person."
I'm going to give you a job. Can I give you a job this week? Can you suss it out for me and find out?
No, not after the Leichhardt blunder.
He
stuffed up.
His vocal cords are working though.
Nothing wrong with that.
Good for him and Gutho as well. So. Yeah, I noticed that, but I didn't want to say look like sour grapes or anything like that. But
I am sour grapes.
Yeah.
You can sook a little bit, Mitchy boy.
Yeah, exactly.
Nothing wrong. Sorry for caring.
He just cares. He doesn't.
He was a church mouse. Yeah.
He doesn't even care, Mitch. He just does it for the sake of it.
A club that could pretty much whinge about life going against them right now because they haven't aimed up in their first two games. And their staff player is out as well. Gold Coast, yikes. What a disastrous start. At least the only way is up for Dez.
Well, is it? Maybe they won't go up. Maybe they'll just stay where they are.
Oh, they'll get better. They'll have to get better. Okay. They'll have to get better. But how is the question?
Obviously going
to
get the inclusion of Campbell, but I just think
the
loss.
Big Dave. Big Dave for Fiona.
But you're hearing things out of there that.
He's not that big.
Yeah. But, mate, the loss of Tino, like he's their leader. Like when he plays,
I reckon he's as good as Payne Haas.
I personally just he's good. He's the heart and soul of that club, mate. He's the captain for a reason, and it's not just by what he says with his words. His actions are unbelievable on the field, and it's not just for the Titans. It's for Queensland and Australia as well. Like that is a massive out. He's been one of their best and integral part of member of that squad for the last 3 or 4 years. Huge loss. His standards are so high.
Yeah.
And, like, there's weeks where he plays the first 40 minutes and he's by far the best player on the field.
You imagine what training is like, though, with him trying to drive everyone forward. And he's been captain now for 3 years.
And the ACLs, he's going to be away from the squad for a certain period of time when he has his surgery, you know, the recovery process. he's not going to be in around that group for quite a while, and they're going to really miss him.
Yeah, like, and obviously wishing him all the very best and a speedy recovery, but the season is gone, and he is integral to that team, and he's their leader, and he's the person that a lot of those players look to. But for me, the Titans, it's alarming. Before a ball was kicked, you would have looked at their opening three rounds, and with Dez coming in, you would have gone Dragons by Bulldogs. Now, Bulldogs, Dragons have been down the bottom end. You'd been thinking, we'll be 6 points going into round four and then look to build. I think they've got some teams that would be on, I don't think none of last year's top eight in their next two games. So they would have been looking to build for that, get victories, but they hardly fired a shot against the Dragons, against the Bulldogs, their attack. The only opportunity came was the one that they bombed in the opening couple of minutes.
Yep.
Like, alarm bells have got to be ringing.
Dolphins, Cowboys next.
Yeah, so Dolphins, Cowboys, two teams that Queensland derbies that didn't make the eight last year that they would have fancied their chances against. Like, maybe that's part of the problem, is we've got Dez in and we just think it's going to happen. And we've got this. Let's just say there are no easy games in the NRL, but there's a softer draw and there's a harder draw, and that's a softer draw. We anybody that disagrees with that is
It's also their discipline, mate. Like, some of their play one, play two penalties, they'll just let in the Bulldogs get down the other end of the field so easy. You know, the attention to detail, just completing sets. You know, when we called the game on Saturday, we were like, you can't keep giving the Bulldogs this amount of opportunities on a trial line. Like, their attack wasn't in sync. Then by the second half, the Bulldogs looked outstanding because you just gave them too many shots on the trial line.
I think the Brimson experiment at centre needs to end. Yeah. I think he's got to come and play at 5'8". 4-7. Poor Tanner Boyd. Look, kick out. Just he will be giving him nightmares for a very long time.
AJ Brimson said before the season his aim was to be the Daly M centre of the year. So it sounds like that aim is going to last.
He's just not even a month. He's just wasted out there.
Just play where you got to play.
And even, you know, potentially even fullback. Now, I know Campbell's coming back, but put Brimson in there.
Like, needs more ball, the better it is for Titans.
Any word from Dez?
Dez needs someone to organise that defence.
Yeah.
He's never won a spoon, Dez, but I think they're short odds now. I think they're 275 now to win a spoon, which is insanely short odds.
And especially with Tino going.
Yeah.
Like, if Tino's in there, like, he's your beacon of hope.
Yeah.
Mm. And now the beacon of hope is on
Dave Fifita.
Fifita coming back. Campbell.
Yeah. And Dave, I mean, I imagine Dave, having this podcast a couple of weeks ago, that having spoken to people close to Dave, Dave's plan was to stay, but he hasn't agreed yet. He's got to around 10. And I imagine watching what's happening now,
not good signs.
I couldn't blame Dave for having second thoughts about staying there, because they don't look as though they're getting any better.
But surely on him, he knows that whenever he's back, okay, that's one thing, but whenever he's back, the people that are putting money in his bank right now and the jersey he's wearing, he's got to really aim up.
Well, he does,
now. I'm sure, for the next 6 weeks when he comes back in.
But he's not the type of player that's going to change it up there. Like, he normally just waits on his edge. He doesn't like the ball.
I think he's been better, though, than he did last couple of years.
He has to be better. He's a marquee. He has to be.
Yeah. But their issues, their halves, don't you think? I mean, Kieran's...
You need Kieran out there 90% of the games. Yeah.
And Tanner Boyd just hasn't had a good start of the year. I understand what Jimmy's saying about playing Foran and Brimson together, because
I like that.
They need
I
to fix the halves up, the halves. Mm. But you take Brimson out of the centres, their outside backs haven't been that good either.
No, but...
They need Jaden Campbell back as well.
They've got JoJo Fifita. They've got Brian Kelly's... Like,
they've got young players coming through, but it's a question mark at the moment. Speaking of issues, Souths, so they're going to make a halves change this weekend. It's sounding this morning that Dean Hawkins was out there and running the session for Souths.
I don't think so. I mean, it'd be a bit, you know, you can, having dropped Lachlan Ilias, you know, I would find it hard to believe they would turn around 1 week later and drop the bloke.
It's a quick retwist. Yeah.
Even though I don't think Dean Hawkins had a particularly good game. I mean, everyone talked about his kicking game. I didn't think his kicking game was anything special. In fact, I thought it was pretty poor. But they're just, you can't blame him.
Well, Ilias got dropped off for 2 weeks.
2 weeks,
so if he's no good this week, do they?
Probably. I would have thought,
twist again.
Twist back. Ilias was really good in New South Wales Cup. So, I mean, maybe they look to shuffle it all and move potentially Cody to half, Jack Whiten to 5'8", Latrell. And
word is on Lachlan, he actually really enjoyed the experience to just clear his head and go and play some footy. Right? So
he's got some options there, JD, but not a lot, sadly. I mean, it doesn't matter if your forward pack's getting pummeled like theirs is.
It doesn't matter who their personnel is. They need to shift their attitude. Mm. That's what it is.
Played Tom Burgess for like 20 minutes.
Yeah. Don't you think Tommy's – I think he's on his last legs, though, isn't he?
Yeah, in those big games, he's been around long enough. He knows what it takes to be a big player. And I reckon I would have started him.
So we had Mitch Pearce and Todd Carney in the studio earlier today for another podcast on Listener Platform. Mitch was at the game and he said 10 minutes in, and it's the stuff you see off the screen at the game. He could see South players
gone,
breathing out of their backside after 10 minutes. Now, whether or not that's the emotion of the week and trying to get up for it and then you expend so much early, it's gone, or the layers of effort are too easily exposed because there's something going on in the background.
Well, they don't complete high, and part of the reason for that is they have a scoring mentality, and they're not prepared to build a victory. They go after points, which I think when it's working for you can be incredible, and that's the potential of South Sydney, that they can just score points at any point, at any moment, and they've always got that. But I just feel there's a lack of willingness to build. And if you go on a 4-on-3 or a 4-on-4, you skip to the outside and you look like you've got half an opportunity, or you sweep out the back and you look like you're going to play, they just play. And maybe, there's the time to go, especially considering the situation that they're in at this particular moment, where you go, well, hang on, we've just got to forget that. And if you are in that opportunity, you just close it now and play the ball. And
there's a perfect example on the weekend. They got a 6 again on the try line. Latrell gets the dummy half, comes out and tries to hit Cody Walker short and just drops the ball over their ball line. Goes past their ball line.
They're playing to score. Yeah, they're playing to score.
Instead of just making wear the Roosters out.
Is it mail time? I don't know if we put JD in this one, the coach.
No, we can talk about JD briefly. There's a lot to talk about the next 3 weeks, because they're three home games. Starts with Canterbury, a game they would normally expect to win.
This is huge, Canterbury game. Massive.
So he's had support from Russell. Russell rang in the dressing room after the game on Friday.
Yeah.
The board's backed him privately in the dressing room after the game.
Is Russell the board, or is the board the board?
Privately. Russell and the board both backed him.
Isn't that normally bad?
Well, it is if they go public, but they haven't gone public. Yeah. But the issue is three home games in a row, if they lose this week, that intensifies everything. They've got two tough ones after that.
Yep.
They're 0-6. They've got a bye after that.
Might beat them.
You know, I don't know how the coach
survives. You can't sugarcoat that.
Their pass mark for the next 3 weeks, probably two from three, isn't it?
Have to have two.
Two from three, well, and then there's six games in. They're 2-4.
Yeah.
And they can look to build the season.
If they lose to Canterbury, is that the lowest point they'll be at?
JD said he was his lowest point last weekend.
The Warriors at home after Canterbury. Yeah. And then the week after that.
Is it Melbourne, yeah.
Sharks.
Sharks. So they're all winnable games.
Yeah.
And they're all home games. So, you know, they need to – I'm a bit like Jimmy. I think they need to win two of them.
Mailbox time, Reedy. Get into your mail.
Let's start with Kalen May, because the NRL has come out today. The NRL head of football, Graham Annesley, has come out about an hour ago, three quarters of an hour ago, and declared that he should have been charged for that head clash with Reece Walsh.
The guy who sets the rules has contravened who administer the rules.
It's an independent process.
They just
love
the NRL.
The match review committee is separate to the NRL. They're an independent body to make their own calls. But Graham has said,
are they an independent body in the sense that they don't follow the actual rules of the game?
Well, they obviously thought they were.
So why should he have been charged?
Because Graham's saying that in their view, his actions were careless enough to warrant a charge. So the match review committee said they didn't think it was careless or reckless enough to warrant a charge. Graham's saying, in the view of the NRL, it was careless enough to warrant a charge. And I agree with him. I wrote a column on it saying I think he was out of control. I think, and Graham also said last year they sent an edict out to all the clubs about players who come out of the line and try to jam on attacking players, and they will give him warnings about it. And he said this falls into that. And if you watch that incident, he shoots out the line.
He had an option.
If that's the truth, really, which I believe you is, then I agree.
Yep.
I agree. Good. So the whole view of accidental head clashes is a hot topic. And it is situational. So
yes.
Poa Faamasili off the kickoff from Cameron McInnes last week, first play of the game. Journeyman forward, Poa Faamasili versus Reece Walsh, one of the superstars of our game, the pin-up boy.
Mm.
Nothing's made of that accidental head clash.
Mm.
Now, is it because it's situational? Again, on the weekend, Tigers against Cronulla. Bole is taking the ball in. Dale Finucane comes out to make a shot. But this time it's the defender that is the victim of an accidental head clash. So not all accidental head clashes are the same.
No, they're not, Jimmy. No.
So Dale should have got Simbin or...
No, but
because it was no. Killer. What was from him? He's done it before.
No, but he had, did you say
Dale Finucane was the tackler was on Bole?
Yeah, so Dale headbutt. Dale initiates because he leads with his head.
Well, this is where people go. I think what you're saying is.
And if it was the other way around, yeah. Would Reece Walsh should have been charged if Taylor May fractured his
cheekbone? Is where Reedy has hit the nail on the head, because not all accidental head clashes are the same. No. Some have a degree of carelessness based off that up and in style, mm-hmm. that jam style defence, which...
Well, you said it right. Poasis, that's a kickoff run. You're going to have to hit him. Where's your... That's careless.
Yeah, but you'd say, did Cameron McInnes accelerate into collision in a way that was could be deemed out of the line in a way that...
Or was he just waiting for
that
him?
Is an area...
Do we have to wait for the GPS to get back?
This is a hard...
This is an area of the game.
It shouldn't have been a penalty.
Discretion does apply. This isn't black and white. This does require some discretion.
For me, I thought it was a shoulder charge. From one angle, that Taylor May's arm, his right arm, appears to be tucked, and he makes a wrapping motion with his left arm. Now it's almost like, if you watch it back, Taylor May, you could be forgiven to think he's carrying the ball.
Mm.
The way he goes into it, he'd be carrying it with his right arm, and he goes up to protect with his left. That's how he engages the collision. Which,
how did he hurt himself?
Well, he did. He did.
He could tell the degree of...
I spoke to people at Penrith on Friday, and even they were privately surprised he wasn't charged.
Yeah, there you go.
So, you know, I think...
Just get a coin and flip it.
In the era of concussion and CTE,
careful, Woodsy,
that's the sort of player. Tackle.
Mm.
Even though it's not... Like, I hate the idea of saying accidental, because no one... Swinging arms, blokes, don't mean hit blokes in the head.
Accidental is not the term that
accidental's got nothing to do with it, because most high tackles are accidental, Jimmy, and blokes still get charged.
Yeah.
It's not about being accidental. It's whether you're careless in your action.
There's different body parts that...
There is accidental.
But it doesn't matter if it's accidental.
Yeah.
Okay, well, what about friendly fire? I was going to say friendly fire.
Well, his team,
but you would say that's an accident, right? Brandon Smith on Lindsay Collins on the weekend. You'd say that's an accident.
Yeah.
So we're willing to accept that that's an accident.
Yeah, but there's different. Yeah. What I'm saying is, was that careless or reckless? No, though.
No.
Yeah.
Well, so the situation.
That's the definition. That's the issue.
Situations and actions that are more likely to lead to dangerous contact with the head, be it with the head on head or shoulder on the head, right?
Yeah.
So I think that's the point, is there's situations that these are more likely to manifest.
Yeah. As a current player, are you now more confused that Graham Annesley has come out and said that about what you can and can't do?
I'm confused about everything. Half this, in the game.
What, in life?
Oh,
or just rugby league?
You don't shoot out the line to hit blokes. You do occasionally, I suppose, don't you?
But yeah, you don't know. I thought it was a head clash. I didn't think there was nothing wrong with it.
It was a head clash, but you just...
But you're saying it's careless now, so I don't understand the rule.
It's a careless head clash.
Yeah.
Well, Dale Finucane, speaking of, he actually got charged with a careless head clash against Penrith, where he shot out of the line and he's...
Ripped off half of Crichton's ear.
Yeah, it was on Stephen Crichton. So
he's just going out to put a heel on to lift his team up. And rugby league's contact sport, things happen.
Mate. Yes, blokes, you've got to be careful.
Bruce, but why do we need to be careful?
You've got to be a bit more careful.
You played rugby league before?
You know, I almost played a game once many years ago. Don't ever tell that story.
You wish when you were there.
Can I tell you the story?
No, we don't want to hear it.
Okay.
Mate, they should do like a charity fundraiser game, like with
all the... They used to play a media game and they had to stop it because there was too much violence. Yeah.
Oh, was that?
Yeah. Blokes were getting injured.
Oh. Did Buzz play that or no?
No, I don't know, but it was like a couple of TV, like Andy Raymond and those guys used to play, but the cameramen used to come out and they were the true psychos because they'd just go after the journos that get in their shots at press conferences and things.
They'd go after Danny for the old microphone.
It was horrific. There's probably vision floating around.
That would be newsrooms. Bring it back. Bring it back.
Into each
other. So who were they versing? The Genos versus Genos?
Yeah. It was just a mix-up
game. The Geno game,
Geno v. Geno.
Was it News Corp
even better? I was going to say like old rival? Pros.
Nine.
News Corp versus Nine.
Wadler would have a like,
Oh my goodness. I was going to say against old pros. But no,
it's Geno. Would you imagine Kent just taking up the first hit up?
Kenty.
I reckon
give everybody 12 months to get in shape. Like,
some of us wouldn't need it, Jimmy.
And what's that?
Need more than 12 months.
What's the basically the no drug testing games? What's that? Enhanced games, but with journos for 12 months to get I like our overall.
Curtain raiser for Vegas.
Yes. There, now we're talking.
Because you get them all come out of the woodwork.
Yeah.
All right, the water.
Peacock will be in there.
All right, the water.
Kick goals.
Yeah. Stand on the wing and kick goals. And Saab, do my hammy after 20 minutes. What else you got in your mailbag? Well,
Jimmy mentioned Blaise Talangi before and whether he'd be a bit perturbed about the Eels chasing Zach Lomax. Now, next week's a big week for Zach Lomax because Parramatta St. George said they would get back to him after round four.
Yep.
They'd sit down and have a discussion. Flano said they wouldn't let him go this year. My gut feeling is they'll let him go at the end of the year.
Okay.
Now, Blaise Talangi.
How long is his contract?
Zach's got at least one, maybe two left. I'm not sure exactly. Blaise Talangi, who made his debut obviously on Sunday, he's got an option in his contract for next year. He's got, I think generally they're around round 10. You can take it up. Clubs can't talk to him at the moment because he hasn't played enough first grade games. There's a round 6 rule in effect now because he's young, hasn't played enough games. No rival clubs can talk to him to round 6. If I'm the Dragons.
Well, you've got two centres already. That's why Zach's on the wing.
If I'm the Dragons and or if I'm Blaise Talangi, I'm watching to see what happens with Zach Lomax.
Yeah.
Because Parramatta sign him and he comes in over the top of me, I'm probably looking to go elsewhere.
Yeah, not the Dragons, though.
He's also got a really good younger brother,
well,
too.
Well, potentially the Dragons. Why wouldn't he go the Dragons? I mean,
well, but that's like, why he's gone there because...
Well, Jack Bird's got an option as well. I don't think Jack's locked away.
Well, there'd be plenty of clubs that would be on high alert after his debut game. So, Taylan May, maybe to the Roosters, then Penrith start to look.
Taylan stayed.
As he says, the Roosters they start to look because they were in. They're going to need centres.
They let that guy walk.
Well, he may not want to stay.
Could they have Lomax?
They've got Penasini.
Good player.
Could Penasini play on the wing?
No, I'd put Talangi on the wing.
Yeah. He might want to play on the wing. Anyway, it's one to watch. It's one to watch the next couple of weeks because if he gets to round 6 and he hasn't done a new deal, Blaise Talangi, you can bet your life some clubs are going to come in for him. And just quickly, another couple, Joy and Gray, who's playing in New South Wales Cup at the moment, South Sydney. He's a gun kid. South's got a huge opinion of him. Well, he's a half, but he's playing fullback. He ran for 270 metres in the New South Wales Cup game at the weekend. South started contract negotiations with him. There was a whisper going around today that he was going to be in the 17 to play this weekend. Why that's intriguing is he plays fullback, and we all know who plays fullback at South Sydney. Yes, the kid with the headgear.
He went really good.
Interesting. Jack Whiten didn't train today, but is said to be playing. I'm told
that's not right, that Jai's going to be in the 17, but the fact the whisper's going around, maybe it was because if Jack can't play, maybe Latrell plays in the centres, Jai great fullback. But again, that's one to watch because I reckon if South struggle this week, don't be surprised if Jai Gray gets a shot in first grade in the next couple of weeks and maybe Latrell gets moved.
Interesting. Another one there?
Anyway, this went under the radar last week. The Fiji government had a meeting last week. And they agreed they're going to put in a bid for a team.
Buller.
And an old team. Expansion team.
Just by themselves.
Wow. No affiliation with the Bears or anybody
by
else?
By themselves.
Good on them.
And what makes it, to make it happen, they're going to offer 200% tax rebates to sponsors.
So 200%?
Yes. So you get money. So rather than paying tax, they pay you money to sponsor the team.
The government?
The government.
The buy round on the front of their jerseys.
Yes. Major sponsor.
Now, the NRL is obviously a long way down the track with PNG, and PNG is still miles out in front, and they will be the 18th team.
You reckon? You reckon they're going to be the 18th?
Oh, it's wild. To lay down Mazaire, Jimmy.
Is it?
Yes. Absolutely wild.
Lay down Mazaire. Mid-year, they'll announce it. But the question will be when they go to 19 and 20, which they will do, Fiji want to be part of the discussion. So that's really interesting. I thought it just snuck under the radar last week.
Away trip in Suva in July.
I'd imagine
not
that.
Too would bad. It be in Suva?
Oh, I hope they play Sunday first games so the Triple M Sunday Simming can head over.
And have the rest of the week on Castaway Island or something. No, they played the Melbourne Storm played that game at Latoga, I think.
You guys all went over. You were there, weren't you?
I was there, yeah. But you wouldn't play there. You'd probably play in Suva, I'd imagine.
Yeah, buddies.
Hawaiian shirt.
Yeah. He's the new Roy Masters, very close to Craig Bellamy.
I'm not sure. Roy used to join in the team song. I wouldn't go that far.
Not yet.
You'd have the sheet of paper like the West Tigers. Exactly, gentlemen, that's the Monday Scrum for this week. Have a good week, everyone. Thanks, Jimmy. Have a good one. What's on the buy round this week, by the way?
Me and Cheese.
Oh, look at
usual. Oh, we're on twice, actually, because Charlie's on holiday. Oh, yeah. Can you believe producer Charlie? Right. When's the busiest time of year for football?
Right now.
Is it Easter?
He's on holidays. Oh,
and he's going away.
That's what this is. WTF moment.
That is a WTF moment. I mean,
next week, boys. Next week.
I'm hearing whispers. Oh, no, it's going to be a very big holiday, if you know what I mean.
Yes.
Whoa, very big. So watch out.
Do the in-laws know? Sorry. Woolsey, have a good week, mate.
You too, mate.
And Reedy, look forward to reading what you're serving up.
Thanks, mate.
Have a good one, everyone.
Triple M Footy lives on Listener. Thanks to McDonald's and Ream Hot Water.